This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Now, it's the Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
So, when Jason Smith goes to bed every night and he says his prayers, one of those prayers is, please, Lord, let Ja Morant start in the 2022 NBA All-Star Game.
I do, yeah. I said, don't let small market hurt him.
Before your sweet
I've not done that, but I will start doing it if it'll help.
That is your prayer.
No, just pray for the best.
And so just to catch everybody up to speed here, in terms of the way that this works, fans vote. They get 50% of the vote. In my opinion, too much. Because fans are mostly stupid.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry.
Then you get a mess like this Klay Thompson mess.
You get a lot of mess. But I'm not saying you are stupid as a fan.
That's crazy.
You see how many votes
saying,
you got?
I'm
That's
not saying
stupid.
You are stupid as a fan, but I'm saying that
by and large,
fans are stupid when it comes to voting for this.
Look at that,
like that. But like, not stupid, but like they just don't. They're not voting on it, right? Like you or I would vote on
Too
it.
Too many of them vote with heart rather
exactly.
than by performance
exactly.
or what's warranted, what's deserved.
That doesn't make you stupid.
No, you're voting for your favorite player.
It just makes it subjective.
But also, when you make it, you know, 50% fan vote, you give them that power to pick their favorite player.
25% of the vote is player. And that also comes with its own peril because guys are going to vote for their teammates and things like that.
And we've also seen guys be silly occasionally.
Yes. And then,
not care.
And then 25% of the vote comes from the media, which also has its own, I mean, it's all of it's flawed, right? All of it has its own flaw. The only problem for me is that 50% of the vote, the heaviest weight comes from fans. We have our first fan returns. Now, All-Star voting is not done, right? But the first returns have Ja Morant. I'll start with the good news first. The good news is Ja Morant is third in guards.
Among guards.
Yes.
Guard voting. Yes. Not third overall, third among guards.
Among guards.
That's key.
Vote-getting guards, Ja Morant is third with 669,033 votes. He's behind.
Great news.
Yes. And
that's good.
And that way
good.
Is good
yeah,
news.
Okay. All right.
He's behind Steph, only about 1.9.
So Steph is number one.
He's only 1.9 million votes behind Steph.
That's okay, man. Stop.
That's good.
We know why that one is.
He's about 100 and some odd thousand behind Luka.
Less than 120,000 behind Luka.
Yeah. And then he has
it's who he's ahead of.
Then he has a big lead over Klay Thompson, who has not played a single
that's ridiculous
game this year. He's way ahead of Devin Booker, way ahead of Chris Paul, way ahead of Donovan Mitchell, way ahead of Damian Lillard.
He's almost tripled Donovan Mitchell's votes, which is encouraging.
That's good.
Because Donovan deserves to be a starter, I'll be honest.
That's the shot. Here's the chaser. LeBron James, 2 million votes. Nikolai Jokic, 1.6 million votes. Paul George, 1 million votes. Andrew Wiggins, 933,000 votes. He won't matter because he won't get any player or media vote. Draymond Green, however, is ahead of Ja Morant at 691,423 votes. So in terms of players that might actually start ahead of Ja in the game, LeBron's ahead, Jokic is ahead, Paul George is ahead, Draymond is ahead, Stephen is ahead, and Luka is ahead. That's six guys that are getting more votes right now than Ja Morant, who will be all-stars.
I still feel good because you still have John Piers and media.
Correct.
Who, let's go through some of these. Are peers and media going to give it to Paul George, who's played fewer games than Ja Morant, and we're not talking about playing in an NBA? Paul George been great.
Yep.
But they're below you in the standings. Who's peers and media going to roll with on that one? I'm just going down the list here because LeBron and Jokic,
yes. Paul George is going to be an all-star, though, right?
I mean, of course he's going to be an all-star. I'm asking about we're going back to starter.
But he's getting more votes.
He has more. It's 50% of the vote.
50%.
And that's what I'm saying. You still have another 50%
right.
that could help Ja because he's got media and peers, hopefully, who will say, well, this guy's, number one, he's played more games than Paul George this year. One more. Paul George only played 26 games. Ja's missed 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But look at the standings. If there's a trump card there, it's how you've performed. I'm just saying, can Ja catch up?
Draymond is going to get lots of media and player votes, too, though. That's going to be the issue as well.
Draymond, maybe?
Yes. He is. He just because they're number one in the West.
The power of Golden State Warriors voting, fan voting is strong. The fact that you've got Wiggins, Draymond.
Luka's going to get media votes. He's the darling.
No, I feel a lot better about it because he's so far ahead of Donovan Mitchell, who I think is more deserving than Paul George.
I think he can
make up some ground in media and peer voting, media and fellow players.
I would say I guess he's doing slightly better in the fan vote than I thought, but I think it illustrates a pretty difficult path to be a starter.
You would have to give him more than slightly the fact that he's tripled what Donovan Mitchell has.
Yeah, no, I guess that's fair.
That he's doubled what Chris Paul has, basically.
Yep.
I'm probably going a little... No, he's more than doubled what Chris Paul has.
Yeah.
He's over Devin Booker. That's fantastic. What that tells me is it ain't just Memphis.
But we were not taking into account Paul George getting $1 million.
No, I'll give you that one. That's the one, and I should have... Of course, Paul George, like... MVP level last season.
Like, Paul George has almost doubled up Ja here.
But what you slick didn't know is he's played fewer games. He's missed more games than Ja Morant, and he's lower in the standings.
Yes.
And Paul will get votes in Indy and in L.A. I mean, because his old market will vote for him. I mean,
Paul's going to beat you on vote. That's
he's
obvious.
In L.A. Yeah, he's going
to
beat
you. Where you need to hopefully catch up on that one is going to be the media and the peers.
Interesting.
I would say Ja is minus 175 to not start.
Yeah, he's an underdog right at this point.
That's about right.
Yeah.
But it might be. It's
not. This is encouraging. It's not
this is exciting.
It's not crazy.
This is a good
place. It's
not
impossible.
And it's only. I think it's only gonna get bigger for him. I mean, let's be real. The vote's gonna go up today. Bunch of folks in Memphis gonna double down now. Oh, let me do my part. But I think that's what's great for Ja is that we can tell this isn't just a small local push here. Nationally, he's made up huge ground. Look at how many more votes he has over guys.
Don't we agree that if Ja is to start, they have to start three guards?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
I don't know how many years they have done that, right? I don't know how many years they've started 3 point guards. Probably not ever happened.
Again, Steph, you call him point guard.
He's just as much a shooting guard as a combo.
Like, he's a combo. You know what I'm saying?
Donovan, I mean, Donovan's
the same way.
I'm not trying to piss anybody's weedies here.
Three of them, technically, you would call Ja more point guard, it feels like to me, than the other two, even though Ja's shown he's scorer too. But to that point, are they going to start three guards? Man. Well, you're going to need it, I think, to get Ja Morant on there. Hopefully they do it. It's a movement, man. I'm going to go home and do my part tonight.
Is it still, they still do the draft crap? They still do that?
Where Giannis and LeBron come on. I think didn't they do that last year? I want to say
pick teams.
I want to say last year they still did it, but they've done it the last couple
Interesting
of years.
Question.
Now, that's just the rest of the team, though, right?
Well, you have your starters and your reserves, right? I mean, I'm just trying to, because it used to be West and East. That's another wrinkle that we're not considering.
It's once you have the pool, that's when those guys come in and pick.
Yes.
Yeah, man. Because I tell you what, it had been so much of a mess, I'd stop paying attention to the little selection process.
Okay,
but
so
we got to get back in now, y'all. I mean, we got one
that's 10 plus years here in a row. That makes the conversation totally different, doesn't it? If it's players determining who starts, like by drafting them?
No. They don't determine who starts. No. That's the difference here. I don't want to, because it's so easy to get confused.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I'm straight on this. The votes determine the starters. Picking them.
That's right. Okay.
Picking them is just who's coming in. They're picking from the pool on who's going to be on whose side. But the vote, media, peers, fans,
the starters
determines the five starters.
Okay, you're right. All right.
Who then go into a pool.
Right.
Right, and then you're picking them.
So in 2019... Here's who started for the East. Kemba Walker, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi, Giannis, Joel Embiid, two guards.
That was kind of like a two-guard, two-forward center thing. It really was.
For the West, Steph, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Paul George, LeBron.
I mean, that's three forwards. That's not even a center.
Right.
So you can go anywhere you want to, right?
Was there an All-Star game in 2020?
Guard, forward, center thing.
I can't remember.
Wasn't there?
Yeah, there was. Okay, yeah. Right before the pandemic hit, they had it in Chicago there. Okay, so let's do this. Let's go to 2020. The starters in the East: Kemba, Trae Young, Giannis, Pascal Siakam, Joel Embiid, two guards. In the West: James Harden, Luka Doncic, LeBron, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, two guards. So, I have not. I mean, I can go back. You want me to go back to 2000? What was? Let's see the most recent one. The most recent one here. The starters for the Eastern Conference: Brad Beal, Kyrie, Giannis, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid. Western Conference: Stephen, Luka, LeBron, Kawhi, Jokic.
It's going to be LeBron, Paul George, Jokic. I mean, that's what you would say today. Hopefully we can make a push for Ja.
You want me to go back to 2018?
No.
We can do this.
I mean, you had three forwards 1 year. It's not like it has to stick to that. It's not a rule that I know of.
I'm not seeing any NBA All-Star lineup
where they've gone three guards.
Yeah.
But it's who you want to see now. It's who you want to see.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, but it's just like they seem to have a formula here.
Whereas at one point you're thinking Donovan Mitchell's his biggest threat because Steph's going to be on there. Now, after this voting thing, I would change it to looks like Paul George is the guy.
Okay, 2016.
Right? That's gonna keep you.
2016. I mean, you consider Kobe a guard, right?
Yes.
Steph, Russell Westbrook, Kobe. You got to go back to 2016.
Yeah, there's plenty of years. I mean, I'm sure you could find some.
But Kobe had 1.8 million votes. I mean, I guess maybe Ja could get there. I don't know. You know, I don't have the timeline in front of me here.
Just how?
You got to go back to 2016, though, for a year where they started three guards.
Yeah. Well, this is the year to do it because the emergence of Ja Morant.
So I think
it's good news overall.
I guess the take is he's within striking distance.
The market thing's not hurting him.
Yeah.
To the degree I thought it might. Like, he's got a national push, you can tell. He's third among guards. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, do we care about the Eastern Conference? I guess we can go through that. Top vote getter.
Let's knock it out.
Top vote getter in the Eastern Conference is DeMar DeRozan. Psych, you thought.
He's got over a million, though. Don't tell him short.
Kevin Durant, 2.3 million votes. I'm a little surprised he got more than Giannis, I'll be honest. Giannis is number two there with 2.145 million. DeMar DeRozan, 1.4 million, basically 1.5. Then James Harden, then Trae Young, Zach LaVine. If John Morant played in the Eastern Conference, he would be fifth in voting in the guard spot, which is interesting. But he doesn't play there. He plays in the West, so he is third. Anyway.
What's Paul got?
Paul George.
Somebody's reminding me. I know he's hurt. He's played fewer games than John.
Ailment?
Yeah, but what's he got right now?
I don't even know.
Okay. All-Star's still a while away, too.
He's got a torn ligament in his right elbow. So he could miss some time. I mean,
I appreciate that, Jason Anderson. That's one that could affect the game if it's torn ligament. Right. I didn't realize that.
But I mean, he's getting big time fan votes even though he's not playing.
That's
not going to change.
Don't forget, peers, media. Who's voting? What media members voting?
His
Paul
peers
George
will still vote him in.
What is voting Paul George? Based on the number of games played and what Ja's done?
I think Ja gets
the nod there. Paul's based on the first half of the season you've
Paul
had.
Is a legacy vote, though. Like, because he's a seven-time All-Star, right? I mean, he just started missing games like 2 weeks ago.
But he's the new target. There's no question about it. At one point, I thought it was Donovan.
You're gunning for
Paul George.
Yeah.
Who, you know, again, not wishing injury on him.
Because you're not going to get ahead of Luka.
It doesn't. Right. Luka and Steph are in there, it looks like.
Right.
Luka will still get media vote and peer vote.
Yeah, 100%. So
enough to stay ahead of Ja with that fan vote.
Especially as the Dallas Mavericks
are starting
to play better.
We need three guards. That's why we need Paul George, who is not as deserving this year as Ja Morant, to be pulled or not healthy enough to go.
You don't think Draymond has any chance of starting?
You put one out Draymond early this week, and I laughed at you, but the fan voting, that's Golden State fans.
It's that Bay thing.
They got three, and they got Klay Thompson up in there. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's that tech all on computers.
But no, I do not, John. I just think there's been enough of a drop-off, especially offensively, dude, that those guys will give guys who deserve the nod now that.
But you
guys like Ja.
People are asking, Ja is not competing with front court guys. Yes, he is. He is competing with there's one spot to me, right? There's one spot that is up for grabs, and it's a matter of is Draymond going to get enough from his from the media and the peers? Is Paul George going to get enough from the media and his peers? Is whoever of those three, those three feel like they're competing for the spot, right? Ja, Draymond, Paul George. Because it just takes up a spot, right? I'm not saying that Ja's not a forward, but it's one spot that could go either way. It could go to a guard unless there is a strict format that I am missing.
Right, like this whole two guards, three bigs thing.
Right.
I don't know if that's real or not.
Is that a determined thing?
If it is, then Ja won't be starting.
Right.
Unfortunately,
Ja is just going to be too far
behind.
What
was that year that you read out three guards?
2016.
There was one of them you could have considered. But
Kobe could go as a forward, too.
Any time.
Yeah, I mean, they have him listed as a guard. Like, in terms of three.
He's an underdog. We get that.
Yeah. But it's, you know, again.
I think it's good news, though, nationally, where how far you've. Having three times as many votes as Donovan Mitchell?
Right.
Already?
Ja Morant is an all-star. That is the news.
That's done.
Ja Morant is an
all-star. We were already there. We knew that.
I know, but this is like the official confirmation of that.
Oh, you go, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Ja Morant is going to be an all-star.
That's fantastic.
And I don't think it should get lost in whether or not he starts, right? I mean, that's the next conversation, and it's, you know, because that's what we do. Like, all right, what's the next thing? Again, he's got his work cut out for him, but it just doesn't feel like it's in the cards in my mind. Like, it just doesn't feel like this year – it is going to be in the cards. But, you know, who knows? Maybe his peers, you know, overwhelmingly put him in, or the media overwhelmingly puts him in.
There's no catching Luka.
I don't think so.
I don't have the number in front of me anymore, but there's no doubling down.
Oh, you mean in terms of the fan vote?
In terms of the fan vote.
He's only about 125,000 in front.
I thought it was less than 120.
You know I'm bad at math, bro. So 787,000 votes for Luka, 669,000 votes for Ja.
600 what?
669.
Yeah, 118.
Okay, so 100 and round up 120,000 vote difference.
I mean,
that's a lot of votes, bro. They're not just going to stop voting for Luka.
Well, you know what's going to happen now. This word's going to get out. There's going to be a great deal of pride going through. There's going to be a doubling down in Memphis. Question is, can you keep that push going nationally too for him? Having guys like Kendrick Perkins on, you know, though, and Jay Williams heard today,
yeah,
saying Ja's an MVP candidate, all that. Ryan McDonough we just had on.
Yep. Yeah.
Having that will help with that national push.
I do think
having more outside of Memphis because you need it.
One of the things working against Ja right now in terms of his race versus Luka is that Dallas is starting to play a little bit better. Right, mm-hmm. They beat the Warriors last night. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It would be a lot easier to think that could happen.
Yeah, but they're not hotter than Memphis right now.
No, nobody's hotter than Memphis in the NBA, basically. But it just feels like, you know, if they were, like, you know, sort of stumbling here and they were 17 and 21 or something like that and it didn't look good, like it was going very well in Dallas, then I could say, okay, you know, Ja's, you know, they continue to win here. And, again, the takeaway is that he's within striking distance
I'm
to start,
encouraged.
And
yeah.
he's cemented as an all-star, right? Whether he starts or not, that'll be determined, you know, by how many votes continue to come in and how the media feels, how his peers vote and things like that. And we can't know that today. But in terms of first fan returns, I would say overall, you know, a pretty good
result.
Is
that the third most votes of guards in the West? It's fantastic.
This is good.
By far.
Huge. This is good news.
I mean, it's a huge drop.
Come on, how far he is over Donovan and guys like Devin Booker and Donovan and Chris Paul.
Right. Yeah.
Or for VanVote, he is. This is great.
It's by the
great
way,
news.
Anthony Edwards being 10th does give me a little bit of encouragement that maybe the fans know what they're doing a little bit. I mean, Anthony Edwards is having a hell of a year.
They're paying attention.
Like, he does deserve.
I thought about him after our conversation about Steph. Guys that you have to have a lot early.
Yes.
Shot attempts from three.
Yes. Yeah.
He's getting them. Now, again, he'd have to play a ton.
Yep.
But we were just trying to pick him out and basically couldn't find it. Anthony Edwards might be a guy. You know, sometimes he's way up there in three-point attempts. Very early in his career, we will see.
Anyway, that is the latest with the first fan returns for NBA All-Star voting. Ja, third among guards.
Next story.
Grizz back at it down at FedEx Forum tonight. Pre-game starts right here with Jessica Benson on 92.9 FM ESPN at 6:30. You can hear Eric Hasseltine on the call at 7 o'clock against the Detroit Pistons. Last we looked, we talked about in the over-under, Grizz were 12.5-point favorites. I laid the points. John Martin said, take Detroit in the 12.5 if that's still what it is. And based in this, and it was good. It was sound logic. Memphis going to be working back in some guys. We hope reinforcements on the way with Dillon Brooks and De'Anthony Melton coming back. Brad pointed out by way of Rob Fisher that Desmond Bane is doubtful for this one. So there is a possibility here with guys coming in and out of the fold that maybe you're a little off as you make the adjustments to get them back in. What I'll just keep pointing to is that this Grizzlies team is as hot as it gets, and right now Ja Morant is as hot as it gets. And no matter what you've thrown at this team of late, even Jaren Jackson having a bad game or two, like the Brooklyn game offensively at least, they've still managed to find ways to win. And remember, this is a Pistons team that's coming off basically a 29-point beating at Charlotte last night, 140-111. They couldn't stop a nosebleed, this Pistons team. So I expect the Grizzlies to roll. That said, rookie Cade Cunningham will be here. He had 16-7 last night in that loss. He's been decent, 15.4, 6 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game, but he's not a guy that you talk a whole ton about, you know, in terms of his rookie year. I think I like Mobley. I'll be real honest with you.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true because they're the best team, right? Or you're one of the best teams, and he's like playing a big-time role.
You put him above Cade, you put him above Jalen Green, right?
I mean, Jalen Green's not even playing right now, right?
Yes, correct. Isn't he coming back or just got back recently, though? You'll have to excuse me on the Houston knowledge right now. I think he's close to back or something.
Forgiven.
But back to that point, we just watched Mobley. Dude is a game changer.
Yeah, Jalen Green just came back.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So you got Cade, you got Mobley, you got Jalen Green. I mean, right now I'd go with Mobley on Rookie of the Year. You'll see potential Rookie of the Year in Cade Cunningham tonight. Also, a Josh Jackson should be back. I think he was in double digits last night off the bench for the Pistons, who, you know, don't have the depth to hang with a Grizzlies team that right now is rolling with Ja Morant leading the way.
So Franz Wagner averaging 24 in Orlando as a rookie. They don't win enough. Like, Mobley is going to get the nod over him.
I didn't realize 24, though.
Yeah. He is going
to. 24?
Yeah. 23 and a half, round up, yeah. Mobley's a beast. Mobley is ridiculously good. Like, and usually, if you watched USC basketball last year, like, he was him and his brother there, you know.
I got a couple of people telling me now it's 2 and 3. Two guards, three bigs.
Oh, sorry. He's averaging 24 this week. So these are.
I'm say there's not
yeah,
week to week on the season. He'd be
yeah, my bad. But he is having a good year down there in Orlando. So
2 and 3. Some men informed that's why.
Oh, it is a hard formula.
Hard formula on the starters for the. So you're third. You're gonna have to catch. You need to do some catching up on Luka and fan voting.
I don't see it. That's like
two guards, three front court.
That's the one guy. You know what I mean? Like, Luka's just the darling.
But don't you feel better about it in a way that now you're not worrying so much about, right? It's just catching up to the 100-something thousand votes?
You have that confirmed? Somebody confirmed that? Like,
I'm getting it from all over that it's two guards, three front court, and wouldn't that be why Drew's saying third?
Is that why people just assuming that, though? Because
No, it's been there. I mean, I feel pretty confident about it. Again,
Yeah, I don't see a path, man.
If it's two guards, three front court, catch Luka in the vote.
That's not going to be easy, though. That's going to be tough. Luka?
Do you think in Dallas today they're saying double down?
I think they're going to get their man in the start. I think they care.
They've done this. It's happened before. Saying there's going to be a greater energy in Memphis, and hopefully for Memphis to go with that, a national push that can help you out. And clearly, there's been a national push for Ja. He wouldn't be where he is three times as many votes as Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's kind of tough.
You'll see Ja Morant playing again in an MVP and All-Star starter level tonight versus the Detroit Pistons. Listen to it on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Next story.
All right, so we have more on Antonio Brown. This story continues to unfold. The Buccaneers have cut him. He has officially been waived by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They announced that in a statement earlier today. This is playing out very publicly because Antonio Brown and his lawyer released a statement, I believe, yesterday where they're going through, hey, you know, he was injured and he let the team know that he was injured.
And got text from Bruce Arians
Bruce Arians said, you better be ready, basically, because you're playing.
He pretty much said, we're going to need you.
Yeah, and I will say, like, in terms of the – now, you can delete specific messages. So I'm gonna assume that he did not. I'm gonna assume that Antonio Brown did not. But look, the text is, this is BA. Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow. We are not resting for the playoffs. It's basically like Brad saying we are not getting an off day for the snow, right?
Right, and rightfully so.
Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow, Jason. We will be working. Antonio Brown did not respond to that. So then Bruce Arians hit him up the next day and said, call me that Friday before the game. And Antonio Brown sent him back a picture of him getting treatment on his legs and his feet, I guess, and said, I'm all in, coach. Really can't get to full speed. I want to win, want to be there. If I wake up tomorrow, feel better, I'll be ready. Kind of rolled it outside on two-point play. I want what's best for team. Let me know when you're free. I'll call you. And then Bruce Arians responded by saying, come see me in the morning. We'll talk it out. Definitely want you with us in case you're ready. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now saying that while Antonio did receive treatment on his ankle and was listed on the injury report the week leading up to last Sunday's game, he was cleared to play by our medical team prior to the start of the game, and at no point during the game did he indicate to our medical personnel that he could not play. We have attempted multiple times throughout this, and this is a statement from Tampa Bay now, multiple times throughout this week to schedule an evaluation by an outside orthopedic specialist, yet Antonio has not complied. Maintaining the health and wellness of our players is of the utmost importance to our organization. Bucs team official told ESPN that Brown was agitated at halftime of Sunday's game against the Jets about not getting the targets he was expecting and had to be calmed down. So you're getting literally he said, she said.
Well, Arians admitted he said get the F out.
Right.
During the game. Like, get up out of here.
But was that in response to him saying go back in the game, or was that in response to Antonio Brown bitching that he wasn't getting targets? Because I could see where if you're the coach and this guy's coming over, you know what I mean,
but wasn't
popping
the,
off.
Wasn't the behavior after it ridiculous?
Of course, of course.
So you can actually say, if you're a company or organization in this case, can't you go, the guy's ridiculous. Look what happened. Look at his behavior.
He's totally ridiculous, but he's been ridiculous his whole career.
Right.
This is not and cannot be a surprise.
And look at the track record.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers knew this about Antonio Brown when they signed him, right? So, that, I mean, that's just part of it. That's part of the Antonio Brown experience. The question to me is this a case of the Buccaneers not doing right by a player who, on the, you know, he's on the street, I'm hurt. And he was. Like, he tweaked his ankle in practice that Thursday. Is this a case of the Buccaneers not doing right by a player who was hurt, or is this more a case of Antonio Brown popping off yet again because he was unhappy with the targets thrown his way?
This is very simple. Antonio Brown dressed out.
Right.
Right.
Nobody could make Antonio Brown put those pads on, that uniform on, if he didn't think he was ready to go.
Yep.
And we can talk about shots like he's trying to do, and he's using that to justify how he could run off the field and jump up and down.
Because he did have one play where he dusted the Jets cornerback.
He's saying the shot that basically he's kind of insinuating shouldn't be used in the NFL because we feel no pain.
Yep.
That's why I was able to jump. Bro, you put the pads on to play. I listen to the Jeff Coughlin show, and you should too, every day from 9 to 11. He had Steve White on today like he usually does on Thursdays. Steve White, Memphian and former NFL player. And I made this point too. I'd done it early in the week. It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of coaches in the NFL who have told a guy who's dressed out, get in there for me.
Right.
What you don't see, that's happened all through the year, the decades of the NFL. What you don't see is guys walking off the field, jumping off the field, waving to the opposing crowd, and leaving the way he did.
Right.
Why? Because it's more than just the coach, right? There's a code. It's the rest of the team. There's a locker room and an NFL, you know, code to this thing that you're also walking away from. And when Antonio Brown put those pads on, right? It's like Steve White said. It's like I heard somebody else on Get Up this morning say, "You're expected to go."
Yep.
You're the one that put the pads on. And so I'm sure there's been a bunch of coaches. I think that's why Bruce Arians had no problem admitting the truth today that I told him to get the F out because he wanted him to go because the guy's dressed out. You know, if Antonio Brown thought that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were mistreating him, right, pushing him too hard, bro, don't put the pads on.
This is what Bruce Arians said in full today. He actually apparently does not usually do Thursday press conferences before games, but this is what he said, the gist of it. Obviously, we let Antonio go today just to clear you up on some things that happened. At no point in time during that game did he ever ask the trainer or doctor about his ankle. That's the normal protocol. You go through protocols during games. I was never notified of it, so obviously that was the disturbing thing when we were looking for him to go back into the game. He was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted, got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started to get on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. And that's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here, and that's the end of it. And we're working on Carolina. That's the end of the story, and hopefully it ends today. I am going to believe Bruce Arians every time. I'm sorry. Like, and it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that we—
I don't know if I'm going to believe him every time. I'm going to believe him against Antonio Brown. Because Bruce did kind of go
right,
vaccinations. I got his bag.
He probably did not want to completely throw Antonio under the bus, I guess, in the initial aftermath of the game. You know, I guess. I don't know. But I can see that all day. I can see that all day when you're talking about, you know, the incentives. They still had another game, though. That's the one thing. There still was one. This was not the final game of the season. But can you not see Antonio Brown like on the sidelines, like complaining that he's only got five targets against the Jets?
Didn't
down
he just
two
have
touchdowns?
10 catches the week before?
Yeah,
like
15
he
targets.
Was coming close.
Yes. Yes. So
seeing
they
that
had made a concerted effort.
These.
They had made a concerted effort with him, you know, to get him whatever it was. And maybe he was just unhappy that, you know, this rookie, Cyril Grayson, you know, was getting more looks or any looks at all, probably. And he just lost his mind. And that's when Bruce Arians like, look, we're down two touchdowns, and you're over here talking about targets. I mean, that's just – and so I get it.
And, I mean, you're dressed out.
Right. So, I love watching Antonio Brown play football.
See, he's trying to make a case that the Bucs did him wrong, so come pick me up. I don't think it's going to come off that way, despite hiring a lawyer and everything else.
Yeah.
Especially now that you got folks, it seems like, as witnesses to this, you were complaining about targets at halftime. That doesn't make your story look any better.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This should have been, oh, man, I'm too hard to play. And folks should have been knowing that from before the game started. And, again, why are you dressed out then if you can't go, if they're just completely mistreating you and pushing you too hard?
It's
too much Antonio Brown history.
The question is, in terms of moving forward, do you think Antonio Brown is on an NFL roster day one, 2022?
Yes.
You do?
So you've left forget the question of this year. That's done. We agree. Next year, heck yeah, he'll be back on a roster, won't he?
But who?
Can he still cut?
What team?
And catch 10 balls on 15 targets?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the Bucs decided it wasn't worth it, right?
Oh, it won't. I'm sure it won't be some championship outfit where he could become such a distraction, right, that it gets you off the path.
So he'll be like, with who? The Lions, the Texans?
Carolina, somebody like that. You know what I'm saying? Washington football team. Somebody's going to pick him up.
Why?
Because he can still take a touchdown. What are we talking about, John? It's
yeah,
an age-old age thing. You still got talent.
Same way
NFL will take you.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
It ends the same way every time with him. Even in Pittsburgh, where they did an unbelievable job of hiding his real personality and his real issues, in Oakland, that was a disaster. That ended unceremoniously. New England, he had one game. That ended unceremoniously because of some sexual assault.
I got one for Baltimore.
Why?
Because they've always needed a receiver.
Do you think John Harbaugh is going to put up with that? I don't see it, bro. I don't think he can go to any team that actually has a decent coach or culture.
Again, it'll all blow over again, and because he's still got so
much
talent.
You would take him on the Bears?
The NFL.
You would take him on the Bears?
No, we don't need him. We got Mooney.
What? See, if you don't think the Bears need him, I guarantee you there is no NFL team that thinks they need him. Y'all suck. Y'all have nothing.
We literally beat you.
Yeah, and
so
it
don't
was
look
an embarrassing
me in the,
moment.
Don't look me in the eye
moment.
Like it's hurting me when you say y'all suck. We beat you in a year that I want my coach fired.
No, but see, that says a lot about you.
Says a lot about your team.
That says a lot about how you don't even believe your own take.
What?
Because if you won't take him on the Bears, who have no firepower at all.
The point is, John, some NFL team will. There's 32 of them. It's going to happen.
The guy
can still play.
He's 34 years old.
Literally just caught 10 balls for 100, whatever it was, last week. Was just dominating
with
again.
Tom Brady when they made a concerted effort.
There's
to
other
do
good
that.
Quarterbacks in the league besides Tom Brady. Like, there's going to be an NFL team that takes a chance on him.
Maybe Carolina, because they have nothing going, and Matt Rhule's going to be desperate.
And by that time, again, and again, you got to remember, John, you're talking about going through a whole nother offseason and then a whole nother preseason of receivers possibly going down for teams. You telling me somebody's not going to kick the tires on Antonio Brown?
But my question
sure
to you would be, like, at what point do you learn?
And know what comes with that.
Oh,
believe me, I'm with you on that. That's why I say I wouldn't.
It ends the same way every time.
My franchise would not, because I have learned. I will give you that to the argument all day, but to act like somebody's not going to kick the tires on him is naive, John, based on what we've seen year after year in the NFL.
He's going to be
34
years old next season.
Yeah, but again, You just saw him boning last week.
Again, with Tom Brady. He would not do that with Sam Darnold.
Well, he just wouldn't. 2 games ago, I should say.
Yeah, he would not do that with a bad quarterback who inevitably he would be playing with because we agree.
It's just volume. If he's in the right offense, he'll get targets. You know, that needs a target like him that you can throw to.
Jerry Rice was awesome.
I just don't think the NFL's done with Antonio Brown just because there's still some talent there.
What more do they need to see, though?
You're usually done with them once they're washed up.
I don't think he is. You don't think there is a less dramatic receiver out there that could have 42 catches for 545 yards in an NFL season?
Dude, he's played like half the year. Like,
I know, but I don't act again, like that's a full, that's part of the experience. He's going to do something.
You're trying to argue, don't pick up Antonio Brown.
Yes.
Everybody and their mama would tell you that. What I'm telling you is the nature of the NFL. Somebody's going to fall on hard times or think that Antonio can take them from non-playoff team to playoff team, can be that final piece. Let's kick the tires on an incentive-laden deal, right, where he's got to appear in this many. Give me a break. We've seen it year after year. And I think it's going to happen again. Your argument is that you shouldn't. I agree with that. Someone will.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Who is somebody like Antonio Brown? Who would you compare, like, you know, in terms of off the field baggage that has had such a checkered past, who has gotten that many shots? Like, who is somebody that is remotely comparable to Antonio Brown in the NFL?
You can't come and somebody get in a cryo chamber and burn up his feet. There's nobody comparable to that.
I'm just saying in terms of, like, off-the-field stuff, right? Let's just group it all into one
thing. This is a fan of the franchise that we – when they did it.
Yes, because we didn't know what
did
we knew about Antonio
then?
Brown.
Right.
But Mike Tomlin did an unbelievable job of sweeping that stuff under the rug. We didn't know how bad Antonio Brown was because the Pittsburgh Steelers did an unbelievable job of hiding it. Had I known, I would have said, let's not touch this guy, you know?
And that's, you're making my point. I'm sensing from you that there's a little bit of burn, just a little bit of personal in this.
I wanted that to work.
Because he was such a clown with y'all.
Well,
right?
He's been a clown with everybody.
I'm sensing there's a little something of that you're applying to your the NFL is done with
who
him
has he not
that I'm
been
just
a,
not going to give you.
But
right
he wasn't
now.
Just a clown with us. He was a clown. He's been a clown with every single franchise he's ever been with. It's just the Steelers were the only ones that did a good job of hiding it. Mike Tomlin hid it. I don't know how he did it.
You know, he did, like he helped them like last year.
Yes, he caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl.
He was great.
Okay, I just want to make sure you were still aware of that.
But again, look how it ends.
Oh, even because now he's 34. He was just dominant last year.
My whole thing is that is the best culture that you can be a part of in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's a Tom Brady led Super Bowl champion.
Again, you're arguing not to pick him up. Everyone agrees with you on that. Someone though will because the NFL is if you still have talent, we will kick the tires on you league. That's what it is. Now, if you want to argue against that, then we can continue the conversation.
Now, this is interesting. Somebody mentioned Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon.
Oh, my Lord. I should have pulled him first. But most of those have not been the
weed.
Old acting. It's this drug issue.
Right. That
got.
Wasn't like right. bad
It's not a guy who's hitting like the movers and, you know, getting assault
no,
charges.
No, Antonio Brown is a bad teammate and
he's right
a lunatic off the field.
But to his point, though, who tweeted that at you?
Billy Hoyle.
How many chances because of the talent level?
He got a lot. You got Seahawks.
He's
with the Chiefs
point.
Now.
It feels like he's had 7, 8, 9 chances because of the talent level.
Right. Yes. I mean, I don't know how old Josh Gordon is. I have to look that up.
No, I don't know. He's not 34 or going to be 34, whatever you said Antonio is.
Josh Gordon is 30.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, no.
This is second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth chance league if you've still got talent.
But
elite,
like,
if they think you've got elite level
don't
talent.
You think the key distinction, though, is...
Now he's burned up Tampa Bay, and that's the one that... So now I'm a front office. I look crazy if I go get him.
Like, Tom Brady...
Sure, that'll get you through the offseason.
Tom Brady put his D on the table for Antonio Brown, right? And it still didn't work. It still ended
number
like this.
Number five.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you
why that plays
that
though.
It did work because they won a Super Bowl. All right, guys. You seem to want to take
that
last year
that
out.
That was not because of Antonio Brown. Right?
He caught a touchdown in it. It helped.
You could have caught a touchdown in
it. So it worked, John. They brought him in. He won a Super Bowl with
him. He was very good for them. No questions
asked. When they stuck up for him on the vaccination card, which looks so silly, right, and they said, well, things have changed. We love him now. How silly do they look now? Because that loyalty was clearly misplaced. Look how he walked off from you. Mad, basically, because he wasn't getting targets trying to make it an ankle thing. I mean, know what's coming when you do this. That's obvious when you sign Antonio Brown. If
you have a young quarterback, you shouldn't touch him. You can't touch him. If you have championship aspirations, to me, and you have a strong locker room, you can't touch him.
Yeah, this is clearly personal for you.
Well, look, I thought. I think Antonio Brown, yes, would have been awesome with.
Because I think on the key points here, we've agreed. What we don't agree on is if he's done or not.
It sounds like what I hear Jason saying in that conversation is that you, like most people, talent always rules,
the
and
NFL,
somebody's
going
to
yeah.
just pick him up.
But I think at some point you have to say,
because it's not drugs.
The talent is not worth the destruction that he could bring on to my team. Now, the Buccaneers are going to be fine because they have Tom Brady.
You're saying, and that's a fine point that many of us agree with, but you're saying all 32 teams have to believe that.
Okay. Who
that will, and that ain't the NFL.
You said who? Baltimore?
I threw them in there because they always need a receiver.
You said Washington and Carolina? Okay. They have nothing else going. Whatever.
Teams looking to take the next step. Washington in particular.
You think Antonio Brown going to take them to the next step?
Well, Washington's going to sit there because they signed Curtis Samuel's, got nothing out of him this year, so they're going to.
Carolina
I would imagine
has
they
like Robbie Anderson.
Again, I think it's a fruitless exercise trying to pick it today. When you're talking about, you got to get through a training camp and a preseason, somebody's one could go down next preseason, and that changes things. Oh, all of a sudden, Antonio Brown, who's sitting on a couch, is looking more attractive.
I just don't think Antonio
There's
Brown
just too
could
much
even
time.
Make it through a training camp at this point with a team. Like, it'd be an upset if he gets to week one. If he's with a team through an entire OTA and a training camp, it'll be an upset if the dude is still on the 53-man in week one because he is crazy.
Okay.
He is crazy.
I got one more for you. Can we move? Are you okay? Can we move off Antonio? Can we talk about Aaron? Or you got five more points made about Antonio?
I think my points have been made, and I'm looking forward to week one when Antonio Brown is putting out albums that nobody listens to.
Man, write that down. He won't play next year, John. And you're dying on this hill for some reason.
Let's do this.
He burned them so much. Why is it so personal for him? It's weird.
This Raiders thing is quite
weird.
A connection.
I think it is that.
He will not be on a roster week one. That's next story. He will not be on a 2022. He will not be on a roster week one.
Are we capable of turning the page? I just want to give you all the time you need.
Damn.
So you get it out.
That's all I got on AB for now.
All right, thank you.
Next story.
What you got on Aaron?
What is it? What is there to have? He's the MVP of the league.
Do you have any problem with him calling Hub Arkush? We talked about earlier, voted him, said he's a jerk.
Nice pronunciation there.
I'm not going to give him MVP. Do you have a problem with him calling Arkush a bum?
I have a couple
of questions here on the air.
Not really.
This is the Chicago Reporter.
I mean, that's your prerogative. You know, you're offended that he said you're a bad guy and a jerk.
Remember how he told the woman, too, I own you?
Well, he was talking about the Bears.
I know.
Yeah.
But remember he directed at a woman in the stands.
Big burly woman.
What did he tell
her? Careful.
What did he tell her?
He said, I own you.
Who's the jerk?
I still own you.
Right. And so a Chicago reporter calls him a jerk after he, you know, has acted like one even there.
You're minimizing it.
And you're so offended.
It's not about that. It's about he has an MVP vote and he's not using it on Aaron because he doesn't like him as a person. That's what that's about.
Well, because he says he's a jerk and lied about the vaccine.
Yes.
Right.
And also that all the summer stuff, the offseason stuff with the Packers.
My question is that fair game to hold your vote for lying about vaccine and being a jerk?
No, absolutely not. Do you or I base our opinions about a player and his ability on how nice we think they are off the court or off the field? It's not because we don't even know. How can we possibly know? You don't know those things.
I have not historically factored it in, although I think with the vaccination thing and the lying, there might be a little something there that's fair because there was a double standard for him with Green
Bay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just feel
jerk
like
set aside, but if, you know, I mean, I don't have a vote, there's only 50 of them, but anyway, other thing on Aaron Rodgers, should he play this week in the finale?
That's really just on him, right?
They've already gotten the one seed.
Now,
the thing about it, though, Brad.
MVP race, right?
Well,
is there a race even, though?
Probably not, because we've all said, I mean, Tom Brady's close, but I don't think he's close enough. But the thing is, Brad, if you take off this week, right, I feel you don't play Adams then either, do you? Well, no, here's my point. You're really going to miss two because you have the bye. And so you're talking about a couple of weeks off, a couple of weekends off. Guys, a couple of weekends in the NFL could be like an eternity.
Could be, yeah.
Okay. I still do it.
And so what you could do is come out a little rusty. I tend to lean to your side, the Lions, factor in the health. Health is so huge in this league. You've already gotten the one seed. You've wrapped it up. It's not like Tennessee that's got to win this week.
He'll play a half.
I didn't like him playing up.
That might be what you do is you get a little bit of it in. Because otherwise it'd be two games gone.
Yeah, he'll play a half.
And look how rusty he was coming back, get week one this year off the offseason.
They'll get that second half. Look at Jordan Love. It may or may not be a game, but they'll just let him air it out. I mean, I would certainly play a half.
I didn't like him playing up 12 on Minnesota at the end of the game, let alone the next game.
Yeah. And then finally, Aaron's record in NFC Championships games is, John?
1-4.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What was the point of this story? I mean, what was the point of bringing this up?
Just to this is a bunch of Aaron Rodgers trash him?
You want to trash him?
Well, information.
I think, number
one. You're no better than Hub Arkush, man.
I think he's a hypocrite. He says it doesn't bother him, but goes out of his way to, he puts the extra.
Well, because it's his career achievements that are based on these votes, unfortunately. And this guy who votes is saying.
Who cares if you get, what'd you say it was last year, 44 or 43?
But what if everybody thought like Hub?
There are plenty that are thinking like him, fool. They're just not saying it. Hub was a fool for
But Hub is the guy who's saying, I'm basing my vote not on what he's doing on the field, but what I think about him as a, first of all, who made you that grand arbiter?
Well, a lot of the jerk thing comes from the vaccination part.
I thought it was about the whole stuff in the preseason with the organization.
Some of that, too.
I mean, but who cares?
That part I will leave out. But the vaccination, you'll
if you think
can
the
be
guy,
up for grabs.
There is no doubt that the guy is the MVP of the league.
We agree on that.
So for you to not vote him in as the MVP of the league is asinine. Because who made you the judge? Who made you the morality police? And you get to decide who's a good person. And you don't know him. I mean, we know what we think we know, right, about how he feels about the organization, about the vaccines, about how he doesn't talk to his family. But that can't matter when you're voting on the performance. You're not voting on how he carries himself off the field because, if that's what it's about, then you should definitely speak up when these NFL teams, they employ rapists, they employ, drunk drivers, they employ, people that break the law. We don't ever hear Hub Arkush talking about that. But he wants to go on his soapbox about how Aaron Rodgers, and I'm vaccinated, but his thing is I'm not going to vote him as an MVP because he's not vaccinated? I mean, how stupid can you possibly be?
Again, if you get into the lying about the vaccination, I think there might be some fair game there. I'm with you on jerk off the field. That should not be considered in terms of the performance. And I'm with you on he's the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, it just again.
That's it. He is a jerk.
He is.
And Hub can use his vote however he wants to.
Aaron Rodgers is a jerk. There is no doubt about that. Like, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to – it would be like if – I don't think he would be a fun guy to just get a beer with. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think he would probably be very, reclusive, and he would not be – you know what I mean? But – there is no denying how great he is.
There's a lot of KD in Aaron Rodgers.
You say
it's not under your skin,
right?
But all your actions and your words say that. No, the perception of you seems to matter quite a bit to you.
How come we don't? How come we don't ever hear about y'all? Ain't never hired no or employed no, bad person or off the field, criminal in Chicago.
Oh, I'm sure there've been questionable.
I want to see the column.
Okay.
I want to see the column from Hub. Is it out there?
I'm sure there have been some questionable additions. I don't have any off the top of my head that Hub should have been on.
Yeah. Anyway, Aaron Rodgers is going to be MVP. He ain't going to have Hub's vote, though. That's for damn sure. He ain't going to have his vote. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Calkins is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about who's getting his MVP vote in the NFL. Get his thoughts on Tiger basketball, Ja Morant, all that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.